2 Thessalonians 2, New Living Translation, verses 13 through 17. Believers should stand firm. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you both in person and by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say.
Hallelujah. Amen. A story was relayed to me this week of a woman who had invited many of the church ladies over to her home for brunch. And just as they were about to pray over the food, the woman's young daughter asked, "Mommy, can I pray? Can I pray?" And she said, of course you can pray. But then fear just kind of came over the little girl. And she looked up at Mom and she said, "I don't know what to say." So Mom said, "Well, just pray the way you've heard Mommy pray." She said, "Okay. Dear Lord, I don't know why I invited all these ladies to my house today. Amen." Now, if we're honest with ourselves, there are times when we want to pray, but we feel inadequate, maybe unprepared. We like to have an example to follow to help us get started. And Scripture is filled with prayers that we can look to guide us. Many of those prayers are from the Apostle Paul. And so for the last several weeks, we've been in a series studying Paul's prayers with the hope that our own prayer lives would be transformed, and that our lives would become more Christ-centered and our thoughts more eternally focused. Because through Paul's prayers up to this point, we've seen that prayer helps us grow in relationship with God as we learn more about him. It's through that relationship with God that we see how our prayers reveal the power of the Spirit in us. And as we learn and grow in our relationship with God, it serves to improve our relationships with others. Because Paul's prayers have shown us that relationship matters. Amen. And in tonight's text, we see how our relationship with God becomes a solid foundation which keeps us standing firm when waves of life start crashing over us. When the struggles and the hardships of life start to hit us. Last week, when we talked about relationships, we talked about building walls or building bridges. See, when life gets hard and troubles rise up, we do one of two things. We call out for help and build bridges, or we retreat and pretend we're fine, thinking, "I can do this on my own." Amen. Building walls to keep others out. But we don't just do that with the people around us. We also do it with God. And Jesus warned us about it in the parable of the soil in Matthew 13. He was talking about the farmer. He said, as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun since they didn't have deep roots. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop.
Amen.
You see, Jesus tells us that the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but then the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word out, making it unfruitful.
Amen.
And so Paul is writing to the Thessalonians with a warning, first of the danger to come, and then with an encouragement to stand firm in the danger. Stand firm in the struggles. Stand firm in those trying times.
Yep.
He's preaching to us too.
Amen.
Because there are always, 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 always trying times. Sometimes they're just trying moments. Sometimes they're trying days. Sometimes they may be trying weeks or months. There may be parts of your journey in your life that just lead from one hardship to another, to the point you start to feel discouraged.
Yes.
You start to feel weary.
Jesus.
And so Paul is writing this message for you. Stand firm. Be encouraged, he says.
Yep.
He starts with this in verse 13. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Loved by the Lord, he says.
Yeah.
Remember, you are loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you.
Amen.
To be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when he told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These verses are just so rich with encouragement. They're foundational to our faith.
Yes.
That's our salvation just in these two short verses. You are loved.
Yes.
You are chosen. You are called to believe in the gospel.
Yes, ma'am.
You are called, when you believe, to share in the glory of our Lord and Savior. Wow.
Wow.
These speak to the plan and the purpose of our Lord.
Amen.
From the beginning of time. Some people want to believe that God just wings it. He just makes things up as time goes on. But that's not true. Everything that takes place in the universe plays a part in the working out of God's plan.
Amen.
And that knowledge should give us tremendous confidence as we face those uncertainties day after day after day. See, if you believe that everything that happens in your day is just random, hit or miss, kind of like a pinball in a pinball machine bouncing from one thing to another, then you become a slave and a prisoner to your circumstances. So when things are good, you feel good. And when things are bad, you feel bad. How wonderful that we can rest in knowing that God is always working out his plan for us in everything that happens. The good, the bad, the positive, the negative,
Amen.
The happy, the sad. He is always working out his plan in our lives, always in the details. And Paul is reminding us that God is good. That God loves us. That God will lead us through any trial. He will lead us through any struggle. And we will be stronger in him.
Amen.
Oftentimes, in the middle of our struggles, it can be hard to look ahead with hope. So Paul takes us back to the past. Because sometimes in the midst of hardship, we have to look backwards to be reminded where we came from.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, he calls us, loved by the Lord.
Amen.
We are thankful because God chose you, he said. See, our salvation is firmly rooted in God's sovereignty.
Yes.
Before the foundation of the world,
Amen.
God chose to save you and you and you and you.
Yes.
Before the foundation of the world.
Yes, ma'am.
See, we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ only because he chose you first. Paul did not put this in the letter for some theological debate. Because, you know, there's the whole, did God choose us? Did he not choose us? God chose everyone. This is offered as a comfort for every one of us. Because we all go through hard times. And we need to be reminded of our security and our confidence in God to lead us through it. What greater confidence is there in that before the foundation of the world, the universe, you were on God's mind? He had chosen you. He had loved you. That's comfort.
Amen. Amen.
God chose you because he loved you. You know, Paul mentions this twice in this small section. Once in verse 13 and again in verse 16. He wrote it to the letter that he wrote to the Ephesians as well. He said, even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes.
Amen.
God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure.
Amen.
God chose you for salvation.
Yes.
Now, salvation here stands in sharp contrast to the condemnation that Paul was talking about in the earlier verses. He said, there's a judgment coming. He said, but God chose you for salvation.
Amen.
He spends the first 12 verses of this chapter talking about condemnation. But you, he says, you have been chosen for redemption.
Amen.
He's reminding us of what Jesus has saved us from. You know, John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, he was a drunken sailor, and he was a slave ship captain before he became a believer.
Yeah.
And once he became a believer, he had a plaque in his study. And that plaque was Deuteronomy 15:15. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God rescued you. We need to hold tight. If we're going to stand firm in the trials of life, we need to remember that we were slaves to the world until Jesus stepped in.
Amen.
And saved us. God has rescued you. Remember what you have been saved from.
Amen.
God's choosing you makes your salvation secure. Nobody can take that away from you. Paul wants to reassure us that because God has chosen us for salvation, he's going to finish it.
Amen.
If God determined before the foundation of the world to save you, who's going to stop him? You know, sometimes we think that that we have as much power as God to do things. No, you don't. No, you don't. As long as you continue to search after God, He will walk with you.
Amen. Amen.
A couple years ago in my journal, I had been going through something, and the thing that I thought was going to be happening was not happening, or at least happening as quickly as I thought it was going to. And I kept praying and journaling, and I was writing in my journal, I said, Lord, I don't understand. Am I in the way? Did I do something to get in the way of your plan? And you know what he said to me? He said, you're not that powerful. He said, who do you think you are? My plans will never be stopped. We're not that powerful. So you are secure in your salvation because nobody can take that away. Before the foundation of the world, He chose to save you. That is security. That is confidence.
Wow. That's wow.
When we remain in Him, in obedience to Him, we have confidence that He will fulfill what He says He's going to fulfill. It'll just be in His timing, not ours.
Amen.
Paul is telling the Thessalonians, God has been faithful to you. Look in the past. Look what He saved you from. He has worked in their lives. He's been faithful to love them and choose them for salvation. See, when God broke into our lives with the good news about Jesus and we trusted in Him for salvation, He gave us eternal comfort. He gave us encouragement. And if you struggle today with discouragement, think back to your salvation. Remember what God has done for you. When the trials come, remember what the Lord has already done in your life.
Amen.
He didn't bring you this far just to leave you there.
Amen.
Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Life is hard. There's no argument there. It's full of unanswered questions. It's full of doubts and fears and anxieties. Life is full of hurts and pains. Pains that sometimes we can't even put words to. But that's right where Jesus meets you. See, Satan wants us to believe that our unanswered questions and our doubts and our fears, our anxieties, all of that stuff, Satan wants you to think that's the end of your story. And Paul says, that's exactly where Jesus is going to meet you.
Amen.
That's the beginning of your story, in the continuation of your story. He will continue to meet you in those moments till your very last breath. That's the security and the confidence we have in Jesus. Stand firm, he says.
Amen.
God has loved you. God has chosen you. God has saved you. What makes you think He's just going to walk away from you? God has a purpose and a plan for you. From before the foundation of the universe, you were on God's mind.
Amen.
And you will always be on His mind.
Yes.
I was introduced to another story this week. There's a little boy who was standing on the banks of the Mississippi River. And he was waving and waving and shouting at a steamboat that was going by. And he was beckoning this steamboat, come back, come back. And a stranger came by and saw this little boy and said, that's foolish. That captain is not going to turn around that ferry to come back to you. And suddenly, the stranger looked out, and the boat started to turn around, and it started to come back to the shore. And the little boy looked up at the stranger with a big grin on his face, and he said, "The captain is my daddy." You see, the captain of the universe is our father. He's our dad.
Amen.
He pays attention to our petitions because he loves us.
Yes.
When Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray with the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Say, our Father."
Yeah.
He's the Lord of the universe, but he's also our dad, our Father in heaven.
Amen.
And that should give us confidence in him. Because he has a plan. He has a purpose. And he is good.
Amen. Always.
And so Paul says in verse 15, he said, "With all of these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on this teaching that we have passed on to you."
Amen.
Our confidence is grounded in the truth that our God is absolutely sovereign. And that our salvation, our past, our present, and our future are in the mighty hands of God, whose purposes will always prevail. Always, always, always.
Amen.
See, when you believe that God has a plan for your life, when you believe that everything in your life, the good, the bad, and the hard, are a part of God's plan that he's rolling out, then you will find the strength to keep on going forward.
Amen.
The sovereignty of God is our strength. It keeps us moving ahead, keeps us moving forward. Listen to the words used by the writer of 1 Chronicles. "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory, and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in the heavens and on earth belongs to you."
Amen.
"Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all."
Amen.
"Riches and honor come from you. You are the ruler of everything."
Yes.
That's everything. The person that cut you off in traffic, the check that bounced in your bank account. Everything. Lord is ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hand, Lord. And it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. So where does your strength come from? It comes from the Lord. And that strength is a result of this truth that Paul has been talking about in verses 13 and 14. You are loved.
Yes.
You are chosen.
Yes.
You are called to believe in the gospel.
Amen.
You are called to share in Christ's glory when you believe.
Yes.
And when we are able to grab a hold of this truth and understand the purposes of God, then we'll be able to stand firm in him.
Amen.
No matter what the world throws at us.
Right.
We live in trying times. We live in tumultuous times where it seems everyone is constantly on the edge. We're all uncertain of what tomorrow holds. Paul would tell you, return to the basics of your faith. Remember your salvation. Remember where you were when God found you.
Amen.
Remember where you were when God saved you from yourself. The same God that was with you then, he's with you today.
Amen.
And he will be with you tomorrow. An image came over my Facebook feed this week. And it said, God's got you just like he had you last time. in the time before that, in that other time, in that other time. Isn't that how we are? We need to be reminded. God's got you just like He had you last time, and the other time, and the other time. And He will have you again, ahead and ahead, tomorrow and tomorrow. You may walk away from God, but He will never, ever walk away from you. Ever. At the core of our faith, at the core of our belief, is the sovereignty of God. It's knowing He is God, and we're not.
Yes.
We never will be.
No.
It's He who is sovereign over the details of your life.
Yes.
We can trust Him completely, even when the details don't seem to make sense. Even when it seems like they're spinning out of control. They're never out of His control. God knows what He is doing.
Yes.
And He is doing it even if you can't see it.
Yeah.
There will come times in life when troubles and hardship just seem so overwhelming. And in those moments, all we're going to be able to do is stand firm.
Amen.
Stand firm in what we know about our Father in heaven. And hold tight. Don't let go.
Amen.
Writer and Holocaust survivor Corrie ten Boom said, "You may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have."
Right.
See, when tragedy strikes, when our lives seem to cave in, and when our plans are dashed on the jagged rocks of reality, when you find yourself in a place that you never wanted to be, that's when you discover what you really believe. See, as long as things are going well, you don't really know what you believe. You say what you think you believe, but until it's put to the test, they're just words.
Amen.
It's all theoretical until you live it. See, anyone can sing, "Shout to the Lord," when life is good, when you have money to pay your bills, when your marriage is strong, when your kids are doing well, you have a great job, you love your church, when everything's right with the world, we say, "Praise the Lord." We shout to the Lord. But the real test of our faith is what we believe when our trials come. See, in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are beaten and they're thrown in a prison cell for simply sharing the news of Jesus Christ. And as they sit in that prison cell with their feet in shackles, they're beaten and they're weary, they sing praises to God.
Amen.
Suddenly, there's a violent earthquake.
Amen.
That the foundations of the jail is shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. That's what it means to stand firm in the truth of God, knowing who He is and what He has done for you. You can praise Him in the darkest moments.
Amen.
And He will show you that He is there, just like He did for Paul and Silas. See, in our troubles, Paul would challenge us. He'd say, either God is sovereign and He is enough for you, or He isn't. Either Jesus is Lord of your life and more precious than life, or He isn't. There is no middle ground. There is no fence to sit on. And if you find yourself on the fence, know this, Satan owns the fence. You need to make a choice.
Amen.
Is God sovereign over your life or is He not? Is He sovereign over all things or just a little bit? Because if you say, oh, just a few things, then he's really not sovereign at all. Because that negates the word sovereign, doesn't it? Because when we stand firm, knowing that God is sovereign over all things, that he is enough, that Jesus is the Lord of our lives and more precious than the breath in our lungs,
amen,
then you will find wonderful hope. Then you will find comfort.
Amen.
Then you will be strengthened in every good thing you do and say.
Amen.
And who doesn't want that? See, Paul's prayer for comfort and strength flows directly from the truth of God's sovereignty. You can't have one without the other.
Amen.
We need to remember that God is the source of all power.
Yes.
He alone can help us in our times of trouble.
Amen.
All the resources of heaven are at our disposal through him.
Amen.
But we need to remember what he's done in the past and hold tight in the present and look forward with hope to the future.
Yes. Yes.
He loved you. He loved you so much he gave his only son.
Yes.
He encourages us today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he offers us hope for tomorrow when we share in the glory of his son, Jesus.
Amen.
See, he's already solved every problem you have,
yep,
past, present, and future.
Yep.
You just don't know it yet.
Yep.
You don't even know the problems that he's about to solve for you.
Yep. Yep.
That is our God. Woo! That is our encouragement. That is our security and our confidence.
Yeah.
That is how we are encouraged and strengthened to withstand the trials and the hardships.
Amen.
That is when we can look ahead with hope.
Yes.
The great preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, cheerfulness ought to be the atmosphere that you breathe. Because if you believe that God loves you, how could you not be happy? How could you not be filled with joy? When we stand firm on the truths of God, our hearts are strengthened.
Yes.
And when our hearts are made stronger, we're not going to be swaying back and forth with our circumstances. We're not going to be pushed into these emotional mood swings.
Nope.
We will stand firm in the confidence of our Father in heaven.
Yes, ma'am.
When we stand firm in the Lord, the headlines you see out there in the news, they're not going to throw you into those emotional mood swings of anger and depression and sadness. Because the strengthened heart, that heart's fixed on Jesus.
Amen.
And that heart doesn't sway back and forth with the emotional winds of whatever's out there.
That's right.
See, the strengthened heart can stand firm on Jesus because he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
And when we stand firm, Paul says, the result will be in every good thing you do and say.
Amen.
See, the words you say you believe will be lived out and seen by others.
Yep.
You know, as I studied, all I could think of was the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yeah.
See, when we stand firm on the truth of God in our lives, we're greatly loved. We've been chosen. We've been called to salvation.
Amen.
You will share in the glory of Jesus someday.
Amen.
You will receive God's comfort. You have hope by grace. See, the strengthening and encouraging of our hearts is evidenced in our lives by the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
In the difficult moments of life, when you rest your weary soul on the God of the universe,
yes,
when you cry out to Jesus and discover that he's really there with you.
Amen.
When you discover that he was there the whole time.
Amen.
And when you know that he's going to be there tomorrow.
Amen.
That's when you know that what you believe is really what you believe. And when people see that in your lives, when people watch the difference that Jesus makes in your world, they're going to say, how do you do that? Teach me how to do that. That's how we make a difference in the world. That's how we have impact. That's the beginning of how we love in ways that matter. We stand firm on the truths of God. And we don't just say it, we live it.
Amen.
In the good moments and in the bad ones.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can you stand firm on the knowledge that God is sovereign over all things?
Yes.
Do you know? Do you live knowing that God is enough? Can you stand firm on the knowledge that Jesus is Lord?
Amen.
And more precious than life.
He is life.
Paul's prayer for you is that you know you are loved. That you know you are chosen and that you are called to believe in the gospel.
Yes.
So that you can share in Christ's glory.
Amen.
That you may be encouraged and strengthened in all ways and in all things.
Amen.
Stand firm, he would tell you.
Amen.
Do you not know the Lord that is your Father? Stand firm, he says. Look to the past to see what he's done for you. Look to the present and see how the Spirit is working in you.
Amen.
So you can look through the trial you're in to the hope he has for you tomorrow.
Amen.
There's no greater gospel message. That's it. You've been chosen. You've been called. You've been saved. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father.
Praise the Lord.
There are no words. Thank you is not enough. Lord, we were on your mind before the foundation of the world. That's hard for our little minds to grab a hold of. That you loved us so much, you sent Jesus. He stepped out of heaven for us to die the death of a thief. Just for us to be redeemed back into relationship with you, Father.
Amen.
There is no greater love. Lord, whoever may be listening today, remind them that they are loved.
Yes.
Remind them that they are called, that they are chosen by you. To be saved. That they are called into relationship with you, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, there is no greater love. There is no greater message than that you love, that Jesus died and rose for us. Lord, for every person that hears this message, may they be strengthened, may they be encouraged to seek more of you, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Amen.
Do you feel it in your heartbeat, even when you're running? You try to drown him out with your life, but you still hear him calling. with a voice you never heard, but it sounds like home, home. You try to shut it out, but you feel it in your bones, and it won't leave you alone. His love is inescapable, his presence is unshakable. Right now you don't believe it's true, a better day is coming. Now they're bouncing off the ceiling. They took your world away when you trusted him for healing. He's no stranger to your heartbreak. He knows how it feels to lose. Oh, from the garden to the cross, he's been chasing after you. Chasing after you. His love is inescapable, his presence is unshakable. Right now you don't believe it's true, a better day is coming. And you don't need another place to hide, he'll find you in your darkest night. His love is holding. Dark enough, your pit isn't deep enough, your lie isn't loud enough to keep him away from you. The Father made the way for you, the Son killed the grave for you. Let his spirit come alive in you. Are you tired of the running? Father made the way for you, the Son killed the grave for you. Let his spirit come alive in you. Are you tired of the running? His love is inescapable, his presence is unshakable. Right now you don't believe. A better day is coming. And you don't need another place to hide, he'll find you in your darkest night. His love is holding on to you, even when you're running. Stop running now. You don't have to have it figured out. All you need to do is turn around, and the Father will come running.